go ahead and bring the Senate Transportation Committee to order. It's Tuesday, March 12th. It's 1:40. While we don't have a quorum, we can still go ahead and take testimony and stuff. We just can't take action. So what we have on the agenda today is Senate Bill 151, making special appropriation to Alaska Marine Highway System for handicap access on the Lakonti and Aurora ferries. And it would provide for installation of elevators for the handicapped and the aged and for the medically infirmed. And this would have some federal matching fund, almost 90% of the $800,000 appropriation, if my staff wrote it up right. That's what
I
it would be.
So. That's
that close. And with that, we'll go ahead and take some testimony. Mr. Ayers, do you want to go ahead and, or are you just here to ask answer questions?
I can do both.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit here first. Also, for the record, Senator Schultz and Senator Menard are present. And Senator Jones is present. So we have a quorum.
Marine authorities, where to go?
I got it. We're adjusting it.
How about it? Mr. Chairman, I'm Jim Ayers. I'm the director of the Alaska Marine Highway System. And I'm here for two reasons. One is I think there's some clarification needed, and secondly, to answer any questions. Senate Bill 151 makes a specific appropriation to the Alaska Marine Highway System for the purposes of installation of elevators on the Class 235 vessels owned and operated by the state through the Alaska Marine Highway System. As you know, there's been great debate and, of course, lots of discussions about how easily this might be accomplished or how difficult it might be. And the fact of the matter is, Mr. Chairman, in checking the records, my staff was able to go back, and there's actual discussion documents back to 1986 regarding the issue of handicap access or the physically challenged. First of all, let me clarify the federal highway fund issue. The Alaska Marine Highway System is eligible for federal highway funds, and we use federal highway funds on the Alaska Marine Highway System primarily for refurbishment of and maintenance of vessels. In some areas, there's actual construction, dock construction, not terminal. The federal highway funds are a set amount of money that's available to the state, as you know. It does not mean that there are additional funds that would be available for this purpose, and I did want to clarify that. It's not like there is a pot of money that we have not taken the opportunity to approach. It's that there is a set pot of money, and if in fact we were to do this, it would mean amending the six-year plan, which means if we were going to use federal funds as opposed to state funds, we would do that. The crux of the issue, however, is what should we be doing in order to make the vessels more accommodating to people with handicaps. We have been trying to assess that for each vessel. We've made major changes on board the mainline vessels. On the Class 235, it's difficult because it was not considered when they were constructed. And now in order to accomplish that, you're talking about a limited amount of space and how to accomplish this in a limited amount of space. There are four options that are contained in the document that you handed out or that has been made available, and in that you can see that Gloston, a professional consulting naval art and engineering firm, did take a look at the various alternatives. Once you began to look at the alternatives, we also have to keep in mind that it is also the Coast Guard who will have some ultimate say about how construction may happen on board the vessels. In order to put an elevator on this ship, it's going to be very complicated. Everyone has a different view of how to do that. Pat Eberhart, our naval architect, is with me today. But basically, it gets down to a significant modification in the structure of the vessel in order to accommodate this. And we are now looking at alternatives beyond the ones that are in here. We've concluded that there might be two other alternatives that are not addressed in here. One of those would be to put the elevator in a different location than is suggested in the Gloucester report. Our naval architect's been out and gone through the ship and spent some time, and he's now looking at drawings. The second is to provide some sort of a stair lift. And you probably have seen those, but actually it would be built into the stairway itself going up the vessel. And if you want, we can pull out the blueprints. Did you bring blueprints, Pat? So we could take a look at that. But we're convinced that those would be the only two alternatives. Now, the difficulty comes when you get into the stair lift issue that we think, and we've been trying to follow this, let me say, Mr. Chairman, that it's certainly the intention of the Marine Highway System to support the concept that you have in this bill. We believe that the system ought to be more accommodating to individuals who are physically challenged. We find only two ways to do this, either the stairway lift or an elevator. On the stairway lift, it's our understanding that a Canadian firm has constructed one that has been approved, and it's our understanding, based on some research, the naval architect has completed that Washington has one. The problem is that it's a Canadian firm, is our understanding, which means that we would not be able to use federal money. That the Federal Highway Act, is more stringent than any other Buy American Act. And we, believe me, have learned that the hard way. That no more than 0.1% of the total project cost can be used for a product. And that the steel must be manufactured and the product developed inside the United States. And to get around that is a very difficult situation. But we can proceed with the waiver. I'm just saying that stairway lift is one of the options that we're currently researching. Secondly, the elevator itself, and again, you might want to take a look at the blueprints, would be to change the way the stairway, where the stairwell is now, alter it in a way and move it back and come out at the landing and put the elevator in at the landing of the stairwell. And extend it out. We haven't done the detailed research on that. It's going to take a scoping document and some P&E, some engineering study to determine if that's possible. We don't believe that the alternatives that are discussed in this particular document are viable alternatives. You talk about significant change in the structure of this vessel, or of these two vessels. So our recommendation, Mr. Chairman, in a nutshell, is that we consider, rather than an appropriation measure at this time, that we consider maybe by resolution or in another fashion, having the Marine Highway System look at access, including restrooms, do a scoping of alternatives, the two that I've talked about. We could proceed with detail and design, and then come back to you regarding construction once we determine which was the more appropriate. And I guess our recommendation as far as funding would be is that you'd have two choices, obviously, either general fund or federal money. Obviously, if you're going to do it, it would mean and get federal money, you'd want to do it the right way so that federal money was attainable. Otherwise, you're talking about a GF appropriation.
Senator Jones, and I would also note for the record that we've been joined by Senator Pierce. Senator Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the funding part of it, couldn't we go ahead with state dollars in design, engineering, and then get it back if it becomes a federal project?
You could
come back.
You could put it in as a P&E start over in the capital budget under the federal authorization. You could do that. Now, one of the things that the department has been clear on, Mr. Chairman, Senator Jones, is this is a project that's not in the six-year plan, so you're starting to get into a process question. You're starting to mess around inside the appropriation measure of building the six-year plan through appropriation rather than through the process. So we want to make sure we took a look at that.
Of course. Mr. Chairman, thank you. Jim, there's been talk of more dollars authorized in the federal match program. Are those taken into consideration in your six-year plan, or is there room to expand some things like this project within the six-year plan.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Jones, next week we will have the complete condition surveys, and these are certainly things that we intend to build into our refurbishment program that we've been discussing at length, and that we hope with regard to the budget itself, the federal highway dollar, certainly the president's budget has an increase for the state of Alaska. And now I guess it's a question of how the House rewrites that, and I'm assuming that we're watching the chicken coop there. But certainly, we want to take a look at that under the refurbishment program. And yes, this is a project that could be included in the six-year plan under the refurbishment. The one thing I want to say there, and be so that we're all clear, the refurbishment of the Laconia and the Aurora are on down the line because they're the newer ships. So we'd want to take this type of a project and insert it in the current six-year plan, because otherwise it's not going to fall till 98. So it would take some changes there. And it could happen, assuming that we are going to get some additional money.
So I'm just comment that the federal dollars that the that looks like will be added are over the next 5 to 6 years, and that's all the further that's been talked about. And after that, we don't know what goes on. So I guess we'd like to be apprised of the. I think that be the best interest of the committee that we'd be apprised of what's going to happen there with those funds. You know. If we get $200 million instead of $170, it's gone up actually from $150 to $170 million.
Yes, that's my understanding.
We've been hearing. And so then if it goes to $200 million, then we're talking about $3 million more. But I think we need to be aware of any change in the six-year plan and if there's room for this type of thing.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Jones, there are certainly people at the department that know much more about the details of what's happened with federal authorization than I do at this point.
In Senator Schultz.
Just a question. Does your six-year plan, you just brought up a point there that kind of is a sore spot with me, and it is a six-year plan. I don't know that much about the Marine Highway System, but do you change your six-year plan very often?
Yes.
I mean, like monthly, weekly?
Well, no, but annually.
In the interior we do.
Yes, and actually, one of the things I did when I first came in and took over the Marine Highway System was I ordered those condition surveys, and we are revamping our six-year plan based on those condition surveys that are coming in because I thought that was a serious problem. We needed to know if we wanted 15 more years what we're going to have to do in the next five, and we're building the six-year plan based on that. And the answer to your question is yes, we are changing it now based on that that program.
Okay, and you change it quite frequently then. For the most part.
We try and change we look at ours annually, and yes, we adjust it annually.
Annually? We had one faxed to us the other day, and then before we got it out of the fax machine, we got a telephone call to disregard that, throw that one away because it was an update coming.
Yeah.
Now, this is on a fax machine. That's fairly quick.
Was that from my office?
No, that was coming out of the interior.
Okay.
But the six-year plan in the central and the northern regions to change.
Well, I think as people
we have projects that just materialize, and they've had maybe a month to look at, and all of a sudden they're part of a 6-year plan.
Yes, I'm
funded this year.
Senator Schultz, that over in the other body, Representative Cato used to call it the 6-day plan.
Yeah.
So time.
I just wondered how the. You guys work
it. Mr. Chairman, Senator Schultz, one of the interesting things about it is that usually it's a P&E start, a scoping document, a scoping project shows up, and we try and stick with that. We scope out what has to be done in the project, comes back as an alternate in the existing list, so in case extra money comes in, we can move it in, and then the following year, as you know, if it's not an alternate, then it's
do you carry through, for example, if the Southeast legislators would want to put some money in to do some design for, say, a handicap access or whatever on some boat, it does not appear in a six-year plan. If, in fact, they got some money from the general fund and put it in there for do this design, would that in turn then appear on your six-year plan the next year to try to secure federal dollars?
If, in fact, the executive branch determined, I don't want to get to it, but yeah, if it was a legitimate project like this project, it would then show up, it would then get built into the six-year plan if it was determined feasible, because that's part of the scoping process. And with the understanding we'd be working with communities and legislators saying, we're going to move this project in, and it means we're bumping this one out.
Right.
We're going to bump out
In many cases, I just want to elaborate on another section of DOT, and that's on the road system where we do make appropriations for design of roads, et cetera, and that we consider very high priorities that should be included on a six-year plan and everything else, and they just fall off the planet. They're never heard from again. They're simply designed and sitting on a shelf.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, there was a ship designed in 1982 or 83, and it has sat on the shelf since that time.
Okay.
And there was design money there, and there was money that was spent to design a ship, and there was actually an appropriation and authorization that was later changed. So yes, it happened. I think it happens in all aspects of DOT's six-year planning process, because frankly, the world changes.
I don't necessarily know about the world changes, and all this type of thing, but I do know that, many times the priorities as far as what we as legislators perceive as priorities as opposed to what Department of Transportation perceives as priorities and where they should be included in the timelines as far as a six-year plan. Very often and more than likely, 100% of the time do not coincide with the way I think about roads and design.
Senator Jones?
Chairman, where we have projects with the Marine Highway System, and there's federal dollars involved, and it's in a six-year plan, if you wanted to move one of those projects, within the six-year plan up or whatever, and then another one goes back. I mean, you can do those types of things. But if you wanted to add something, that's a little difficult, isn't it? Because you're saying something dropped clear out then. It's going to be a replacement project, then you have to get an okay from the Federal Highway Administration, right?
Federal Highway, yeah, Senator. What happens is that we submit a list of the projects. The department is working with the Federal Highway Department. We find out how much money the state as a whole is going to get, and then a portion of that comes to the Marine Highway System.
And how is that formula worked out, or what portion is that? Is that a moving target, or is that or is there a formula that decides how much comes to the Marine Highway System?
It is not a specific formula, Mr. Chairman. It is it's basically been kind of a historic allocation process that has evolved into acceptable. And
what does that mean?
It means that the bloodbath that would occur in order to start changing the process and to figure out a percentage formula has been very difficult in my experience. And there have been various times when there have been different people who have ventured into establishing a percentage, a ratio, a per mile kind of distribution per capita scenario that gets very complicated very quickly. The process is not a percentage, nor is it something that the Federal Highway Department tells us. We must provide them projects that are acceptable and qualifying projects. What they are is up to the state of Alaska, and you as the legislature annually make that decision. You appropriate that federal money for specific projects, and it must come through the appropriation process. So you make that decision. We do not make that decision.
Well, so there is no formula by which the Marine Highway generates federal dollars or a portion thereof? There's lane miles or anything?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Schultz, not any more than the Seward Highway generates a specific formula for an allocation of funds.
We get an X number of dollars, and then we just 156 million, whatever it is, 180 million this year. How do you divide that up then? When you start looking at south, or at southeast, at central, northern, so on and so forth, how do you start looking at that?
Well, I noticed that I don't have any of my DOT colleagues here, but I'd venture to say that there are some people here that ought to be in this chair besides myself. And I think that for me to start responding to that question is the itch of ill-advised activity that I would beg to put off.
We can advise staff that we can have that hearing at another day. And actually, we can review the whole six-year plan and look at the...
There's no sense in reviewing it.
Mr. Chairman, basically, there's not a formula. The Marine Highway System gets approximately $9 million, $9.5 million of the federal funds annually. And that has been determined to be kind of a fair share. In some years, like the current year, a major project like the Tustamina comes along and we have $12 million project going on. And so then we have had less. But generally speaking, it's been a general number, except in those years when there's a major project to be done.
So it's less than 10% of the existing.
Yes,
fund.
It is.
Right. Wow. I never did break it down, Mr. Chairman. I always had the impression that the Marine Highway System was really coming out like a bandit on this.
There are those, Mr. Chairman. Senator Schultz, who definitely don't feel that way. But it gets very, like I say, it gets very difficult to say what would be fair or what is unfair. And I think it's generally comes before the legislature saying, here's what we perceive to be the priorities for this year. Yeah. Not here's the percentage share.
Yeah, if I just start going back through just the SB 41 that we just passed out, and we started going through, and we had fuel increases, and the snow removal and everything else, it just seemed to me like there was an awful lot of money that was going into the Marine Highway System, as opposed to the amount of problems that we were having throughout the central and northern region in maintaining our roads. It just seemed like it was unusually large amount of money was coming to the Marine Highway System as opposed to what was going into the supplemental.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Schultz, that happens to be an anomaly, not the rule of thumb. And basically the problem is that the Marine Highway System suffered a significant veto from the previous governor, and the Marine Highway System is the largest consumer of fuel. And because of the Iraqi war, it was a significant hit on the Marine Highway System.
Sure.
And in the third, and so I think that particular supplemental is simply an anomaly. If you look at the overall budget, the Marine Highway System does not, particularly when you consider federal funds. Marine Highway System is in less than 10% in the federal funds. It's more in the general fund because we also show program receipts as coming through the general fund.
Senator Jones?
Yeah, I think they do look at the miles of road that are out there, Senator Schultz. They look at the what regions receive what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Southeast receives maybe 10% or something like that, 10-15.
Yeah. Well, I know we certainly and then use that for calculations.
So I think
there's a ballpark number that ends up happening.
Jim, I have one question on the fact on these two vessels that we're considering doing the upgrades off for the handicap access. If they're fitting in the plan to stay within the system a long time, your projections as far as keeping these ships in the system, they would not be ones that you would be looking at phasing out of the system.
No, Mr. Chairman, these are the two newer vessels. These are the major feeder vessels serving the communities of Southeast, and certainly these are not in the condition survey and fleet plan. We intend to have these ships for another 20 to 25 years.
Are there any other questions? We do have a couple of other people that want to testify. Are there any other questions, Mr. Harris?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schultz?
Well, I'm just going to ask a favor, since we're talking there, that on the last day of the session, or about the third, or a couple of days after session, would you please mothball the Taku, or whatever that little Conti, I guess, a little bitty boat that
no.
floats north out of here. Which one's the smallest one?
Oh, he's thinking of the one that we've already sold.
The Chilcat.
No. Huh? The one that you float out of here every year on and go to Haines. What is it, the Laconi?
Laconi.
That's what we're talking about upgrading here.
Yeah. Put a bigger one in here towards the end of the session.
I had
constituents that were bumped.
Yes, I understand. And then you got on?
Yep. That I have heard the end of that one yet. Very serious. I would like to see a bigger boat float.
Did they throw them off in Juneau to let you on?
Yeah. They did. And I didn't know it until I got home.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 41 will take care of that issue.
Senate Bill 41 will, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
New ship.
Then Patrick Owen.
My name is Patrick Owen. I represent A and B Camp 2 on this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow members, there for letting me have a chance to testify on this worthy piece of legislation. I kind of differ with Mr. Ayers, and I know I don't have the position that he does and have the responsibilities he does, but I feel that we can have these elevators on there, and I think that this plan has been going on here that he referred to since 1986, and I feel that in that length of time, I feel that there's been there should have been time to design some kind of a access to the so that then people don't have to go up them stairs like that with the, with canes and wheelchairs and everything and that bumping and everything and make it make their conditions worse. And I might add that I think the law does state that you have to have handicap access now on everything. And I noticed on some of the private buildings that are being leased to the state now, they're making them do access ramps and things like this for the people to get up and down on them. And I do believe that in this day and age that we sure can afford to put these in there. And I would like to say that the Coast Guard hasn't got back with them. This plan was in 86. I think that there was a letter drafted to the Coast Guard for safety of the ship, you know, by putting these elevators in. And it must not be too big a concern with the Coast Guard, or I think they would have got back with them, you know, about these because, you know, they usually get back on anything that's structural, causes structural problems with the ship or something, unsafe conditions on the ship. So I do believe that that these are, can be put in there without having too much difficulty. And there's a couple plans in here that he has in here, that the state has in here that the study calls for that. This is stairwells in the main galley deck is being eliminated in this kind of list of something. And I don't see any structural changes in this list here where it'll be able to tear the ship up or tear beams up and everything and to put these elevators in. And I feel that with the federal matching money, and I was told by Mr. Ruby, the highway administrator, that they would go 88% on this. And this was a key project, you know, it was something that was needed. And I think that this is why the feds were concerned about it. I would like to talk to him and see if he could come up to your committee here sometime and testify to the facts that, you know, of this, of what he told me, because that's what he had told me. I visited him twice, and he had mentioned that there was 88% federal money on this, you know, that they would match this. And I think when you got a chance to use this federal money, we might as well take advantage of it. It's there, and it puts people to work and things up here.
Let me clarify something. Mr. Ayers, on this federal money, there's so much allocated what we're talking about on the federal money, and this would compete, this project would compete for the use of federal monies, but it wouldn't, and if we wanted to, and it comes down to an administrative decision on how those federal monies are used, is that correct?
Yeah, exactly, Mr. Chairman, and I don't know exactly what Mr. Owens is referring to. But the 88% is the federal money that the state gets currently. And Mr. Ruby is not going to come in here, and I've talked to him several times, he's not going to tell you which projects he thinks you ought to do. He's going to tell you whether or not those projects meet federal requirements. How we spend $130 million annually is up to us. And but there's not more money because of this project. It's the same pool of money, and there's a list of projects that are qualified, and this project would qualify. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm. Senator Jones.
Mr. Chairman, I think I have a comment to make here. You know, we're talking about 1986. We're on our third governor, fourth commissioner, and fourth director of the Marine Highway in that short of time. So it's no wonder these projects fall through the cracks. And, you know, the policies change as to where we should be going, and ideas as to where we should be going with the dollars, which kind of speaks for the authority, though, Mr. Chairman. Continuity management
helped a lot. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to also state that if somebody, a handicapped person, was going up that stairwell and fell down, and the way the jury awards are nowadays, we'd probably be looking at about $2.3 million and $3 million, and I think we could probably put a couple elevators on there for that cost on one ferry. So we have to look at the cost if somebody gets hurt on using them stairwells that's handicapped too. I think this is one of the things that hasn't been taken into consideration too much in the past.
Okay, are there any questions, Mr. Owen? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mr. Chairman.
Then we have Art Willman from Search.
Good afternoon. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the committee. My name is Art Wellman. I'm a resident of Sitka, 20 years as a matter of fact. I am the vice president of the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Corporation, which is the native corporation serving the rural people of Southeast Alaska. We very much are in favor of this type of progress on the ferries. The ferries serve our people very well. For example, the ferry system has tried to accommodate a lot of our village people in coming into the Sitka Hospital at Mount Edgecombe Hospital for the turnaround ferry each Saturday or several Saturdays during the year. And we'd like to indicate that we're very happy about that kind of situation. It enables us to have a Saturday clinic so people in the village can get to our hospital at a reasonable cost, see the doctor, maybe do some shopping and go home in the evening. As far as the handicapped problem, we do have a problem in terms of getting people to come to the hospital for specialty clinics. I'm specifically referring to orthopedic clinics. There are a number of people that have a difficult time getting in and out of Sitka on airplanes, let alone on the ferries. I'm also reminded that some people are embarrassed at having to try to make their way up the staircase, and for that reason, tend to not want to come in for their regular appointments. As far as we're concerned, we would like to see some progress made on this. I think that several of the suggestions that have been put forth here are very valuable. You know, we're not always talking about stretcher patients. We are talking about people with canes or wheelchairs. We estimate that about 10 people a month coming or going from the hospital are in some kind of a, say, a handicap situation of some sort. And it's a rough estimate, but I think you'd like to get kind of a ballpark number. We're talking about 1,000 people a month. And so we tried to make that estimate. And these are people who are actually getting in and out of the hospital or to the clinics. And as I say, there's kind of an unknown of people who are shut-ins and we can't get in very conveniently. I thank you very much for considering this legislation, and if I can provide any further information, I'd be glad to do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from committee members? Thank you. Is there anyone else that wants to testify in this legislation? Mr. Ayers?
Mr. Chairman, I want to clarify two things, if I may, and I don't want to take up the committee's time, and I know you're very busy and you've got a heavy schedule. The two things that I want to clarify are that, one, and again, I'd be glad to get the blueprints out, but one, you are talking about a structural change, and it will take, in order to get federal money, we would have to do design and engineering. The federal government's not going to give us money to go do construction without doing design and engineering. And the first step would be to do the design and engineering. And what I guess what I'm the point I want to make there is that we would have to do that before we can do anything, and that's the step that didn't happen that needed to happen previously, and we do intend to do that scoping project. The question then becomes to you is whether to put that in as a general fund appropriation. You could do that in the SIP, the system improvements, with general fund, which would give us a year ahead. Otherwise, you'll put it in the federal side. Design engineering will come in the 92, and then it'll be 93 before they'll give us construction.
And what is the cost? What is the cost of that? The is it
10%? Well, no, 10% of the construction, probably $80,000 to $100,000 to get design engineering plans, blueprints that would accommodate the vessels
on both ships.
That the feds, both ships.
No, that's for both ships. Yeah. Maybe that's the worst case, full blown elevator.
And that's if we did the full blown elevator. We do need to scope this other issue out. We need to know. I know the previous speaker, and there are a number of people. Everybody has an answer about how to do this, but we really need to sit down and take a look at the details of what it means. You talk about punching a hole in the ship and say that that's
going to be a simple thing. It's not just sticking an elevator shaft in. And the Coast Guard does regulate that. I mean, and the other safety fastening, what's this?
Yeah,
which stands for?
American
The American Society of Mechanical Engineers have to certify that it meets all of the safety standards for an elevator on board, and then the Coast Guard has to certify approval.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are you comfortable with $800,000? I mean, I don't know. You haven't done any design or anything, but you know it's about $800,000.
I can tell you that, you know, I mean, anytime you get a number like this, you got that number from us, and that's based on $400,000 per vessel, based on what one of our engineers ballparked this would come in at, and said that you won't know until you get design engineering, and of course they ballparked it, they think, in a way that'll accommodate it. It'll take you about $80,000 to $100,000 to get the details of construction, engineering, and design and blueprints so that it actually could happen, and then you'll know. But yes, we're comfortable that within that amount, you could accommodate the elevators.
Okay, this could come from federal match?
It will qualify for federal match, but you won't get the construction money until you do the design engineering, so you'd have to put the design.
So
yes.
What you're saying, we should maybe just do the design engineering now and be applying for the federal match at the same time.
Yes.
Or if I understand that right, it comes down to a policy call if we're going to try to federally match these funds or just do straight GF fund. I mean, when we go for federal funds, then we're going to have to compete in amongst all the other things that we do.
We would push it in. We would force it into the six-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And in your estimation, would that delay the process significantly?
I think there are three things that need to happen. First of all, we need to see we need to scope this thing out and see which is the most viable. I do not believe that any of the plans that are in there are the way that we want to do this right now based on discussions with the naval architect. You don't want to come up through the bow of that ship and open up the forward lounge just to put in an elevator shaft, which is what that thing talks about. Other people have advocated for the port aft side. The problem is that We believe the Coast Guard, and we talked Coast Guard a little bit about that. You're then talking about either having a 3 to 4 foot, you have to have a 36 inch lane, so when you dock the ship starboard and that thing's in the aft, they've got to be able to get out to from the elevator out to the car door. Well, that means that you're going to have a lane of traffic not there, which means you're either not going to be able to sell that car deck space, a lane of traffic, or you're going to have those cars removed, and we're not sure the Coast Guard allow that. So you need to scope this thing out, and then you need to make the decision about where to put it, and then you need to do the engineering and design to put it there.
Okay, but
and do that first in a general fund appropriation over in the capital budget in the line item called SIP and add $80,000 for scope, design, and engineering for elevators on the Class 235 vessels, the Alaska Marine Highway System. Then we would be doing that at the same time we put this in the six-year plan. And when we put it in the six-year plan, it depends on how much federal money's there, but we would then make it a priority for the 90, I guess it'd be the federal year 92. So we'd get the scoping and engineering done beginning this summer, and we'd be ready then the following fall to actually do the construction when the vessel goes in.
And this has never been done? This has never been done with this? I mean, it looks like we've been working on this since 86. We've never done this engineering design, or is this another rerun?
They hired Gloston to do this particular work that you have in your packet. But then they did not follow up with design and engineering of a particular project. They stopped with this and said, look what we're going to do, and do you want to really spend the money? And they decided not to. If we're going to do this, we ought to do it right, but it needs... I'm telling you, we will proceed with it. We will make it happen, and when we do that, we also need to consider looking at what we need to do with the restroom, so we do the whole thing at one time.
Senator Schultz.
Okay. How much did that cost?
It was 1986. I have no idea. I could go. Do you know?
No idea.
No, I mixed that up.
Don't say anything bigger than 10.
I can't guess.
Well, okay, the question is, on the $80,000 we're talking about, the design and so on and so forth. Is that going out to contract, or is that being done internally?
Pat would scope the particular project that we wanted to do, uh-huh. And then we would go out to contract to actually have the design engineers put together the
20% internally.
What's that?
20% internally, probably. 80% of that money would go to a subcontractor for the detailed design.
Why is it necessary to go to an outside contractor on a lot of things where we've got people in engineering, we've got people in design, we've got all kinds of engineers running around DOT.
Might as well come
big up. Time.
That's what they say. Okay. Senator Schultz, that's a good question.
Why don't you come forward so you can state your name for the record so we get it on the record and Kathy doesn't have to chase you all over.
Okay. See, my name is Pat Eberhart, and I'm the new architect at the Marine Highway System. Mr. Chairman, Senator Schultz, that's a good question. And in fact, the Marine Highway System does maintain a technical branch for their civil engineering, like their ports and their harbors. all of our terminal stuff is done in-house, but we don't maintain a staff, a technical staff for naval architecture vessel design. And by and large, that's just due to the difficult nature. The expertise that's required for those various jobs is very, very expensive. And it's difficult to maintain a large enough stable to get our very large projects accomplished and then knock down to, say, no projects during the summer. So traditionally, the Marine Highway System does not maintain a large enough stable of technical staff to handle a federal, I say federal because usually our federal jobs are large design, usually over half a million jobs. The jobs that we do in-house would be, I do small modifications that we consider almost maintenance.
But it just seems to me, if I may follow up, it seems to me like once you have a ship built, okay, you have the as-built, you have everything laid out there just exactly the way the ship is constructed. To go back in and make a determination, that you can simply go back into the as-built plans, you can make a determination as to where an elevator will fit or whatever. You can present those concepts and ideas to whatever it is, the Coast Guard. It doesn't seem like it's all that involved to me to find a space where an elevator would fit. I mean, when we're talking $80,000. And then it looks to me like once the Coast Guard signs off and says, okay, an elevator could be placed here, that it could be brought back and the architects from the as-built could simply draw that portion onto the blueprints and design the thing.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Schultz, I think that maybe you've been misled by some of the
previous
comments about how easy to put an elevator in. In any industrial application, addressing the regulatory concerns for an elevator is worth a week or two of an engineer's time. This elevator is a major structural modification of the vessel, and it'll interrupt many majors, structural members longitudinally and along the vessel, so the strength requirements will have to be addressed. The electrical load and the ability of our generators to even handle the electrical load will have to be looked at and addressed. And of course, now I'm speaking just of the engineering things that have to be looked at, then you have to compare the engineering fixes with the applicable regulatory regulations. The installation of an elevator will have a negative effect on the vessel's stability, so the vessel's stability will have to be analyzed before you begin the project to make sure it's okay with an estimate, and then you'll have to re-incline the vessel after that experiment and completely rewrite her stability and get that approved.
On electrical load, I would think, yes, it was on there that, or on a boat that had a stateroom, if turned on a hairdryer, would be a bigger electrical draw than an elevator.
The thing was, that I just meant to imply that you would be surprised how much paperwork. Even what it seems
required.
Like, yeah, it's a stack of the specs, an inch and a half thick, and there's probably a sheet of 30 drawings in it. It's amazing.
I guess, you know, I understand what you're saying there, but I guess what I'm saying is just because it's required, in my opinion, doesn't mean that it's absolutely necessary.
Mr. Chairman, let me mention two things, if I might. One of the things we just experienced with the Testamina is an elevator question. We are putting an elevator on the Testamina. It has become a very complicated issue, not only because of what type of elevator we're putting in and whether it's capable of being constructed in the United States or not, but also the clearance tolerance at the top, it's 42 or 48 inches, has to be sufficient so that if someone were trapped, although there may or may not be a way for them to get out of there, has to be sufficient for them to be, for you to be able to be in the top of the elevator so you don't go crunch if it's at the top, right? ABS and the Coast Guard at one point shut the project down because even though we had gone through the process, it was not the extension, the top part of the elevator was going to be
in the wrong place. It was going to extend beyond actual.
It's going to be too short.
But if we did it the right way, it was going to extend beyond the deck. If we did it the wrong way, it didn't have enough space in it, and the Coast Guard and ABS weren't going to approve it. And so we're about to have an elevator that worked, but it didn't have enough space in it, and they were. And
space when it gets to the top, you got to have some room there.
That's correct.
And I mean, it's applicable like in this
6-foot man standing up, or
I think it's 42 inches, Mr. Chairman. I think it's 42 inches. But it got to. But we were a foot short. We're at 37 inches.
Short and spent 3 weeks getting a 6-inch.
Well, if you forgot to duck, you'd be 42 inches high, regardless, right?
The only point there is that it. I'd love nothing more than to say that Pat could go do this in an afternoon. The truth is that
I understand. I guess at $80,000, it just from just the top of my head seems awful high for design and construction of an elevator, but I understand that there's all kinds of federal guidelines and everything else.
And they'll require the design be approved by ABS and Coast Guard and all these questions that he's talking about before we can actually spend the federal money.
Senator Pierce.
Do we have elevators on some of our ferries now? The bigger ferries that are elevators?
The mainliners have.
What?
And we're putting one on the Tuscamena.
Okay, what kind of. I don't know how to phrase this question. What sort of maintenance record do we have?
Maintenance record?
Operating record. Do they work? Ones that are on the big ferries?
If I may, Senator, the elevators, especially marine elevators, are a maintenance nightmare compared to an elevator in, say, for instance, this building. We maintain maintenance contracts with Otis and with another elevator manufacturer for the maintenance of our vessels, as well as we maintain them ourselves and examine them ourselves. We spend, I think it's on the order of $5,000, somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000 a year on annual elevator maintenance, and then, of course, if there's shifts to be replaced, or gears or wires, and of course, when the cage is in a moving structure, it wears a lot. So the maintenance is much higher for an elevator in marine application. And we have elevator maintenance is good. Don't get me wrong, but it's definitely harder than a building in the process.
So are we
going to
talk about?
No.
What would you expect after you install these two elevators? What kind of annual maintenance costs are you going to have for the additional two elevators?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pierce, my guess is that the annual maintenance costs for the vessels will increase yearly for each vessel between $3,000 and $5,000 a year. And that maintenance is a dual thing.
Mr. Chairman, I just mentioned that because it's been my experience working with the Anchorage International Airport. I've never yet been in that airport when all the escalators were working. I don't know whether the elevators always work or not, but the escalators should have held out. And I was just curious what the maintenance is like on these. One of the problems is that you end up having probably more weight in these sorts of elevators, and as we do on the escalators at the airport, because people lug luggage up and down them that isn't normal. Probably not as much of a problem on elevators as it is on escalators, but I'm just wishing I could figure out a better way. Because the maintenance costs, I think, are going to be tremendous. So just adding to that, I mean, we need to take that into account.
That's a good point. I don't think I've ever seen those things work either.
I know you have, but they never bloody have. Brand new ones done them.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're beginning to get to the bottom of why we're saying that it has to be scoped. I can guarantee you that we will proceed with the project, but it will take some money to scope a specific project out, and then we will pursue it with the federal money for actual construction. But it is a very complicated decision. It's a complicated process to put this thing in a ship. It is not simply put in a shaft. And the only reason I know that is I was just down in Portland, and I've been through this issue on the Tuscamena, and I've crawled through the shaft on there. I've been in arguments with people about the steel and why it has to be a certain way. The discussion of that ship moving and the flex of an elevator shaft is different than what normally is going to occur, and normally you have problems. So,
Ben, I would like to pose this as a question, and Senator Jones brought it up, and you mentioned it as it went through the discussion. Now, are you saying the bill that we have drafted now says general fund $800,000? Now, in this discussion that we were talking, are
Are you recommending that we fund just the engineering and design out of GF at 80 to 100,000 and then apply for federal funding for the actual construction of the project? So we should amend this bill here to downward?
Mr. Chairman, based on my understanding, and I need to do some checking with our department, DOT, Federal Highway Liaison, but it is certainly my opinion that that's the way that you should proceed. It's GF, the design and engineering, but if this is a priority, we need to work it, and I agree that it's a priority. I believe that people ought to have access and that these two ships are important ships for all Alaskans. And the way to do this is design and engineering first and not get into actually appropriating general fund money until we have better information on what you're going to do.
Well, maybe we should go ahead and hold this and information on it. I don't know. What does the committee feel?
Why don't we simply amend it to the general fund design and construction and
80,000.
You know, 80,000 bucks. And based on the merits of that, I think it's something that needs to be addressed. Certainly when we're talking that kind of money for an elevator, putting design and construction in, it's got to be done. The only way that you're ever going to get your reimbursement on this thing is to have it done. The only way it's ever going to appear as part of your six-year plan is to have those things in place. So if we feel it's important that we put handicap access on these boats, then this is the mechanism, and we should put the design and construction money in there and get on with it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Schultz, I agree with that. I want to be very clear here that this is certainly, you are the legislature, and this is a decision that is within the constitutional purview, and I need to look at what projects ultimately might have to come out unless there's more federal money available. So I don't want to start rewriting the federal highway six-year plan in the committee by doing this kind of thing. I'm just doing the caveat to cover myself to say I don't want to start writing our six-year plan in committee.
Yeah. As you know, there's an increase in federal funds this year.
Yes.
There's an anticipated increase in federal funds next year.
Yes.
So there's actually no better time to get the thing on a design, and then the project stands on its own merits. You have to make the decision as to
That's
what
right.
comes in and what goes out, or if in fact it even makes it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Schultz, actually that is the commissioner and the governor
yeah.
who will make the final decision about the appropriateness of whether or not this project would stand against other priorities that
exactly.
have to do with the road
right.
out of town and all and the Seward Highway compared to, if there's money, I think it's not a problem, and I certainly accept that this project is a good project.
Senator Jones.
Mr. Chairman, if we went ahead and appropriated the $800,000 just the way the bill reads now, we could go ahead with general funds, and couldn't we get reimbursed from federal?
I don't know that you can. We have not done that. I don't know if you can do a project and retroactively bill against it. I think that that's the whole process. That's the reason you have to do design and engineering first.
You can't.
If they have not approved the project, I don't think you can do it and then send them the bill.
It has to be pre-approved.
Exactly right. It does have to be pre-approved. Then you
yes, and you have to have the design pre-approved.
Pardon? It has to meet the specs.
No, you don't have to have the design. I don't believe
it has to meet the specifications.
Right.
The federal highway specifications, and they reference whatever the...
Right.
bureaucracies are that are that do Coast Guard, the whatever the ASME group is, and the American.
Which in this case would probably mean, since you got to meet Coast Guard specs, that you would have to almost have it designed before
yes.
you could get that approval, before you could get it on the list.
Yes.
But I don't see why it would take all that long to get authorization for inclusion. From the feds at this point in time, even though funding may be a year away. I don't understand why it would. We always come in and ask for projects above and beyond what we will ever.
I think if you put this on the list, when you do authorization in the budget, that is not That is simply the legislature authorizing that expenditure. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to happen as far as the federal highway. So you actually could add this project.
That's right.
In this year's appropriation for the 92 federal highway
exactly.
authorization.
Exactly.
And that might be something else we'd want to talk about. But that certainly, again, is within the purview of the commissioner and the governor.
But we're certainly going to hold their feet to the fire on a few of those road projects, though, the way they're written down.
I don't think that the $80,000 you're talking about is going to have an impact on the $150 million that's available.
I got a couple questions. I guess one, do we know that the $80,000 is enough to do the project? I guess
he's smiling because he told me $100,000, so I was using the 10% ballpark that they usually use. And I think the answer to that question is no, Mr. Chairman. We won't know, but I think that we would put it out we'd put it out at a bid, and it's over $10,000. We put out as a bid. We'd scope it out, and we tried to do as much as we could in-house and put it out, and we'll make it work for $80,000.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, we'd also would really like to address the whole shift, the whole nine yards, the handicap access to the restrooms.
Which is another thing, if we got the blueprints out, that we'd show you. One of Pat's ideas is that if you did this the right way, as long as you're going to open it up, there's some areas that this is going to be near a bathroom area that ought to be changed anyway. And so we would make that a part of the project.
Okay, then how long is this engineering? If we funded this, the engineering went forward, and we got is there a time certain on how long it is good for? Does it last 2 years and then you got to redesign it again or re-engineer it again, or does it go on for a long period of time?
Design and engineering, it missed the 92 years. They can put it in so that you could get it done this following layup season.
The design would be good. Mr. Chairman, I think the design would be good. We would pursue this, and we would put it in for the following. So we would try and probably put it in this year's authorization. I want to talk to the commissioner's office. We put it in this year's authorization, which means we'd get the design contract out this summer, get it back. It would be available, but it wouldn't be available for the overhaul season this year. You don't want to pull the ship off just to do it in the summertime. So it would be the following winter, then you'd have the federal authorization.
Well, once these projects are down, really, you were asking about time. We were working off some worksheets, Steve and I, and going back on design and construction. And we've gone back and found roads that have been charged off 2,600 days, 2,800 days, really. And we're not even into right-of-way yet. Or anything else. So it's incredible the way, some of the regions have managed there once they get authorization to go into design and the charging off of these things. And then not only that, but then you were talking about a guesstimate of $80,000. We had estimates in right-of-way of, say, $1 million coming back in later at $7 million. It's just incredible miscalculations.
Mr. Chairman, we'll get this project done. We'll get the engineering design done during the first part of 92, and then we'll have to build the schedule based on the overall schedule of the vessel so that it's done when the vessel's in the yard, obviously, as opposed to pulling it off. So it'd probably be the spring for one ship and then the fall for the other one the following year after we've accomplished the design engineering. But I do think, Mr. Chairman, that Senator Jones had a good idea. If what I understood him to say is, we would want this to be broad enough to look at handicap access, including taking a look at bathroom facilities.
Mr. Chairman, if we amended this to read some of $100,000 is appropriated from the general fund of the Department of Transportation Public Facilities, last marine highway system for modifications to the Laconia and Aurora for access to and use by the handicapped, aged, and infirm.
Yeah,
that covers all. That covers everything you need.
That's
very good.
Design and engineering language.
I don't know that you. Well, yeah, you can. I don't know that it matters.
Yeah.
You'd want to put design engineering language in there to tighten it up, because
right.
if I get
yeah.
hit
right.
by a bus coming to work, and somebody else comes along and says, "Here's some money to put the new drinking fountains on the Laconia," unless that's tight, you could do something different.
Yeah, for design and engineering of modifications.
Right.
You know how that works.
You have
get hit by a bus. I politically felt it.
Now, Senator Jones, you have an amendment that you're proposing there on the, it, but we want to make it that we would be addressing it conceptually so that the drafters could go ahead and get it technically correct, so we have some latitude on that.
Right.
So go ahead and restate that again, please.
Okay, the sum of $100,000 is appropriated from the general fund, the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Alaska Marine Highway System, for design and engineering for modifications to the Laconia and Aurora for access to and used by the handicapped aged in.
What part of the discussion did I miss when we went up from 80 to 20 or 100?
Because they're talking about doing more than just elevators. We're talking about bathrooms and whatever.
We're saying we'd encompass the whole
passageways
project.
Passageways.
We'd take a look at the restrooms, which will be a part of this whole question. Because otherwise you're going to hear from Grand Camp or someone else about the issue of why don't we do the restrooms at the same time. And we should, Mr. Chairman. That was something that...
And even...
But they Dorwitz...
Pardon me?
That will go up for a bit. It'll go up for a bit.
For the same amount of money.
It'll go up for a bit.
So, I mean, really, we're looking at basically a rectangular room, right? Extensions of stalls, widths or whatever, for handicap access. I mean, you take an 8x10, and there's only so much you can do with it in designing that thing for handicap access, period. I don't care whether it's in a building or whether it's in a boat.
Well, you were talking about the winch here, it went up 20,000. So that's about the way that goes.
But it just, I don't know. I don't mean it.
Mr. Chairman, we'll bring the change.
Senator Jones.
I would move, we want to see us here.
Just go ahead and make the.
I'll move the amendment, Mr. Chairman, as stated.
Any further discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, then the amendment is adopted. So then we have before us Senate Bill 151 as amended. What is the pleasure of the committee?
Move that we move and ask unanimous consent that we send the Senate Bill number 151 as amended out of committee.
Any objections?
I have no objections, except that I would ask that once the committee substitute has been rewritten, that it's shared with the committee members to check over just to see if everything is okay before it does go on to the next committee.
Okay, we'll instruct staff to go ahead and do that. Hearing no objections, then the bill is moved out of committee. Then, with nothing else to come before the Senate Transportation Committee, it is adjourned at 2:45. Thank you very much.